In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Please be seated. A new class, both seminarians preparing for the office of the ministry and deaconesses, PhD students, STM students, a new faculty member. This is a time of new beginnings, and as we open the 170th academic year of Concordia Theological Seminary here in Fort Wayne, we once more give thanks to God for the incredible blessings that He bestows on this place, particularly in terms of the people He gathers together here. And as He gathers us for our continued task of teaching the forming servants in Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, our mission statement, get used to it, you'll hear it often, and part of your theological interview is to say it from memory. As we continue that mission that God has entrusted to us, we continue to give thanks, as I said, but we're also a little surprised when we read texts like this as our text for this afternoon. No one can serve two masters, for either he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Thankfully, the Lord provides the interpretation immediately. Otherwise, we might think of your devotion to certain professors, loving one, hating the other. But then the Lord goes on to say this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Of course, we know that, Lord. We're quite aware of that fact. And yet, I know for a fact that many of you, as you struggled with the decision about whether to attend the seminary, you worried specifically about the cost. The cost. Jesus puts this text, this challenging text, in the midst of one of the most beloved sections of the Gospels, indeed of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, and lays out before us some of the most significant challenges facing us in our lives as Christian people. If we take this as simple ethical instruction, how to live, you and I will quickly find that the demands of the Sermon on the Mount are beyond us. There is no capacity to fulfill these on our own. The Beatitudes make that clear already in chapter 5 of Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. I can pull off some of these some of the time, but when it comes down to being pure in heart, my vain attempts at the victorious Christian life quickly fade. And then, for good measure, Jesus goes on. He expands his interpretation of the fulfilling of the law by telling us, among other examples, to love our neighbors, not to call people idiots, because that is equal to murder, to love all. And in the face of these words, we are all exposed. And then he continues. Chapter 6 extends the commentary by teaching us how to pray, instructing us on how to fast. When is the last time you did that voluntarily? And challenging us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And then at the end come the opening words of our text. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Our hearts are shown for what they are, divided, attempting to serve two masters, and with varying degrees of willingness and success, we see that in the end, we only serve ourselves. And then the Lord changes the tone entirely. Therefore, do not be anxious. What? How could I be anything but anxious at this point? I don't know what's coming in my classes. We've done the budget. Who knows if the ends will meet? I have all these new courses to prepare. How will the students receive me? Older faculty having projects, demands upon our time, administration with unending days, all of it seems to breed only one thing, anxiety, anxiousness, because who knows what tomorrow will bring. And if you're not there yet, you will be, so take my word for it. And I don't know if it helps that if I say we are there too with you. That is what we face as human beings. And yet the word of the Lord calls us to see our reality in a fundamentally different way, to be anxious about nothing, for everything that we need for this body and life proceeds from the hand of a loving and caring Father, a Father who cares for us and assures us that we are his own and that we will indeed live with him in his kingdom forever. We are surrounded by the cares and trials of this life, and the temptation is to become so entwined in them that we miss the gracious provision and care that God pours out us upon us so richly each day, feeding us with his word, giving us his body and blood to eat and drink, and above all, clothing us with the righteousness of the crucified and risen one, his own dear son. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for all your tomorrows are already established in the unwavering promise of Christ. This is Christ's promise to you and to us as a community as we begin our 170th academic year. In many ways, it doesn't look all that much different than years that have gone previous, and that's, I think, as it should be. After all, we're endeavoring to learn and to hand over the faith once delivered to the saints. Nevertheless, we do so in a rapidly changing culture, one that is increasingly indifferent to the Christian message. And it appears more and more likely that when the Lord places you into service as a pastor or as a deaconess, you will find yourself persecuted along the lines of the word that the Lord himself spoke in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So be of good cheer, for in the end, the Sermon on the Mount, while it does challenge us to live a specific kind of life, defines that life first of all in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the one who, though he was rich, became poor. He is the one who mourns over the brokenness of his people, who meekly goes to the cross in our place because he hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He is merciful and pure in heart, and by his death and resurrection makes peace with God, so that we who are persecuted by the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh know that the kingdom of heaven is indeed ours. So, my friends, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Clothe you with the righteousness of Christ. In preparation for the beginning of each new academic year, I go back and read the words of our first president, Dr. Wilhelm Seeler, who wrote in an article as he was carving out a little German Lutheran seminary on the Indiana frontier in 1846, wrote about the kind of students that he, that is this seminary, intended to form. He said, "These students will cling to the saving doctrine and remain in what has been entrusted to them. Just as the right church, called Lutheran, from the beginning accepts God's word, confesses, and teaches it. These students oppose unionism. They have a healthy and thorough knowledge of the truth. They diligently teach this truth to others. They love their church. They are willing to bear all sorts of internal and external troubles and tribulations for the sake of the one faith. They take care to be of one mind in the spirit and in peace with one another, always conscious that not only have they been created by the same Father, they were redeemed by the same Son and sanctified by the same Spirit." "It is our intent," said Dr. Seeler, "with the help of the Holy Spirit, to produce such servants for the church." That is still our intent 170 years later, and God, in His mercy, continues to fulfill that promise. In the name of Jesus, amen.